I'm Zeke Bond. Yeah, I've been brought up into the sort of, my parents were hippies and stuff, so we've been brought up into a kind of a, you know, skeptics, healthy skeptics, and just to question, you know, everything, basically be a bit critical. I suppose my, as a parent of, I'm a parent of four, and my daughter Indigo's recently got into trouble. She's taken on my sort of quite kind of standing up against the tyranny of the existing sort of system, overreach and stuff, and it, yeah, it sort of rubbed off on her. And yeah, she got involved in up in the Kill the Bill protest in Bristol.
Now this went, this protest went right around the world, didn't it? All sorts of people looking at it. Lots and lots of exciting pictures, I suppose a news person would say. I don't think the police would agree. So can you just tell us a bit about what the protest was about? The Kill the Bill, it's a provocative title. I can remember it, actually, the same expression being used back in the 1990s with this Criminal Justice Bill.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's meant to be a bit ambiguous, I think. You know, they tried to use that in court against them, actually. They tried to twist the words round in the court, saying the prosecutor, the CPS Crown prosecutor, was basically trying to say that they threatened to kill the police. They're threatening to kill the police. And they were saying, well, no, that's misinterpretation. We're saying kill the bill, as in the legislation they're introducing. That was used in court. It didn't hold any weight. They seemed to have to let that one go. Because they didn't actually say kill the police, they just said kill the bill.
Yeah, so, and of course a bill is an act of parliament before it gets the royal assent, you know, so it's an ambiguous, it is a provocative title. And it makes for a good poster. But the thing is that this act of parliament now in law is also provocative.
Oh, yeah, they're trying to criminalise protesting, along with one, you know, along with a lot of other repugnant laws they're trying to introduce. You know, I mean, it's completely, yeah, I mean, really, I don't think it can hold any weight if it's against, in breach of our fundamental, you know, natural law and stuff like that, then we can just remind them of that.
Well, maybe the government thinks there is no natural law. They make the law. They're like Judge Dredd or something. Anyway, what is it about this Act of Parliament that has got Indigo and yourself so riled?
Well, I didn't go to this Kill the Bill one. You know, luckily I sort of stayed away from that. Otherwise, I probably would have been in prison myself. But unfortunately, all our beautiful kids, she was 19 when she was at the protest, and it's taken 2 years. She basically pleaded guilty to violent disorder because she obviously did get a little bit, you know, physical with the police, because in defence, a lot of it is in defence, obviously.
Okay, can you just take us through, you know, take us through what actually happened that day?
Yeah, I mean, they were there for peaceful protesting, and it all started off, I just sat down and took picnics and stuff and sat around enjoying themselves.
So whereabouts were they in Bristol?
Yeah, near Bridewell Police Station, but it started off in, I think, in a park somewhere. Like I said, I wasn't there, but I mean, it kind of moved around a little bit, but mostly in the centre.
Now, I mean, as I understand it, the idea was to just bring the traffic to the halt outside the police station and do peaceful protests, as I understand it.
Yeah. I mean, the police were brought in pretty quickly in full riot gear. I mean, they tried to make out they're in their normal kind of, you know, clothing, but they were pretty much dressed up for a fight right at the beginning. And it seemed like these police vehicles were kind of left like sitting duck targets. It looked like a set up to anyone, really, who's, you know, you can see what's going on. It was like the police vehicles, the meat wagon and the cars were just waiting to be set alight, basically. They made no real effort to put them out, put the fires out. And then it's obviously a brilliant photo opportunity for the mainstream media to latch onto.
Well, and also there are accusations that a lot of these types of demos, as there were in the 90s at some of the demonstrations I went to, of agent provocateurs. I mean, have you had any evidence of that? Because that's the sort of thing that won't, you know, won't necessarily come out in the press or in court.
No, I mean, there's one guy who we know, who I met, actually, who he's the one that set fire to the meat wagon. So I know for a fact that he wasn't an agent provocateur, the one who actually did it. He got 9 years. I think, well, it's something like, he got 9 years, and then he tried to appeal it, and then they slapped on another 5 years for him basically being, you know, thinking he's taking a piss for appealing.
So what was Indigo actually accused of then, eventually?
She was accused of riot, but what they did, the trouble is, when all the first prosecutions were coming out, a lot of the early defendants, they only had duty solicitors. So they were basically scared and fearful and, you know, what to do and panicked. And they all just thought, we better do a plea bargain and just plead guilty to riot straight away so they get a discounted sentence. But the trouble is with that, it almost legitimised the false claim that it was actually a riot, because it wasn't. It was just isolated pockets of people attending a peaceful protest that got out of hand.
Okay, so, I mean, it's important to understand what is Indigo's actual version of events. Take us through it.
She was just there peaceful protesting, she was there with just all her young mates, so all like, 19, 20, 21 plus, and they got no malice in them. They're not angry people, they're not violent. And they just basically there peacefully protesting. They're obviously a little bit drunk, some of them, and, you know, tipsy. And then it escalated. Basically, the police got heavy-handed pretty quick and started kind of roughing them up. And then when you're in a big group like that, then they obviously just started reacting to the aggression of the police rather than the other way around. It wasn't like the defendants getting angry first. So, and then she basically there was the police put out a wanted list, and they put her face up and along with her other mates. They got high definition camera footage of all their faces and then put them out. So a lot of their people they knew basically grassed them up. The ones that thought they'd done something wrong started grassing each other up. So then they were like told, oh, that's Indigo, because they didn't have the names at first, obviously, the names of any of them. And slowly, people who didn't believe in what they were doing, but they knew the person, they'd informed the police as who it was. So then names were gathered that way, mostly by people who didn't agree with the sentiments of what they were, you know, standing up for, but knew the individuals. I had to actually hand her in up at Kingsham, because I live in Salisbury, but I had to drive her up to Kingsham and hand her over to the police. And then they arrested her. I said, why did you have to arrest her? I said, I've handed her in voluntarily. And they said, well, we won't handcuff her, obviously, because she's come voluntarily, but we still have to arrest her. They charged her with riot. She didn't plead guilty to riot, but she pleaded guilty to violent disorder, because she knew she kicked a few shields, you know. So she couldn't just say she'd done nothing. But then she went to trial, and it was a hung jury. Said 5 days in court, in Bristol Crown Court, and then they reached a hung jury. She
basically, it then took them nearly 2 years from the date of offence to actually get her into to sentencing.
Well, if there's a hung jury, that's not actually a proper decision, I would have thought. You know, if you've got half of the jury saying one thing, half the jury something else, you know, how can you have a verdict?
Yeah, it was hung. So what they did was they said they want to do a retrial, and they set that in June. So she. In this time, she's been working and had two jobs going, and in Salisbury, and keeping, you know, her head down. And then, so they kept saying they're going to carry on prosecuting for riot and violent disorder at the same time, and a risk doing a retrial. That was set in June. And then we got like this message from the solicitor saying that they brought it forward. To literally gave her a week's notice to leave her property, rented property, get all her stuff together in literally 1 week, because then they dropped the riot charge. So they dropped the riot charge last minute when they kept it going for 2 years. So you say if they just dropped the riot charge at the beginning and just accepted her violent disorder plea, she wouldn't have had to gone through a whole two years of mental torture. And life disruption. You know, if they just said, "All right, we'll drop the riot charge and go for a violent disorder," for all that unnecessary, you know, mental.
Kind of understand the police's point of view, wanting to throw the book at the people that were involved, because apparently there were quite a few injuries of the police officers.
Yeah, and I mean, the police limped into court. They limped into court and they started crying. And these are 6'6", like rugby playing riot police, who said they were fearing for their lives, and they started crying at, you know, the jury, trying to get this sort of sympathy vote. But it just looked pathetic. These big riot police fearing for their lives from this like fairy. I mean, I don't know if you've seen a picture of my daughter. I mean, she's the most fairy like, you know, beautiful, you know, if a riot police is petrified of a young, slender, you know, beautiful girl like that, then they're in the wrong job for a start, and they shouldn't be trying to do that sort of work. They should be pulled out if they haven't got the stomach to take a little bit of backlash from a slender 21-year-old girl.
Okay, so when was the sentencing, and how long has she got to do inside?
She got 3 years. Judge Patrick, he was pretty much commissioned to take on. He wanted to do nearly all of these defendants. He's done 100 years so far. He's dished out 100 years just for this killed of a bill protest defendants. He gave her 3 years and then reduced it to 20 months for mitigating circumstances. So she'll do half of it on tag. So she'll be out in September, October time, basically. So.
And it's all over this thing, the police courts and sentencing bill. That's what the bill was about. That's now in law, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it might be, but I mean, you know, there's been quite a few protests about it. What's the one that, you know, even like the ULEZ and the Clean Air Zone charges and stuff, you know, there's been protests like that about recently, and there's been very, very minimal police attendance at these. So people are still protesting. So I'm not sure what their tactics are, because it looks like they're sort of stepping back a bit and allowing some of these protests to. They normally let Extinction Rebellion ones happen, and they normally, you know, they exile or insulate Britain, and then they normally clamp right down on anything like Kill the Bill, or, you know, they're quite selective on which ones they police heavily.
Well, don't you think it's all because this protest turned violent that the sentences have been so long?
Yeah, the trouble is there were obviously people that were causing criminal damage and arson, and so I mean I'm not condoning that, but the trouble is what the way they work, the judge was working his sentencing was when it went from peaceful protest and then it changed, there was a certain time period when he was saying that the defendants at that point should have all left. And then so he was giving longer sentences to defendants that continued to stay, and whilst everything was burning and all that was happening. But it's like, well, you know, who can dictate how long you can be at a protest for? You know, I mean, he was saying it is at the point when it turned into a riot, anyone that was still there at that point, you know, it was no longer a peaceful protest. So then they were violating, causing criminal, you know.
Well, I mean, it turns out now, 2 years later, that actually the police press office was lying about some of the injuries that the police had actually got.
Exactly.
So you do, you know, you do wonder whether this is something which many people just watching this as a news story on the telly or whatever will say, oh, well, they probably deserve it. But anyway, look, how has Indigo taken all this?
Yeah, she's bearing up. Like, she's, to be honest, it's been such a nightmare waiting for 2 years, having it over your head for all of us as a family, like just waiting for that nearly 2 years. So really, we've been through all the really deep emotional stuff. We cried, and you know, I cried my heart out in the sentencing, seeing my daughter being taken off, treated worse than a rapist. You know, it's like, or a paedophile. That's the big thing. It's like, to see your beautiful daughter being taken away like that and treated worse. So we've been through all the emotional stuff, and it's now just a matter of almost like numbed off now a bit, and just happy just to count down the days and get it all over and done with, to be honest, you know. Yeah.
So finally, what do you think is going on in our society that they can bring in a law like this, which actually makes, effectively, the traveller lifestyle makes it a criminal offence? I mean, these are people, gypsies and travellers, who've been here for thousands of years, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you can't even do wild camping. They're trying to stamp out wild camping and everything, aren't they? It's, it's just... I think it's all linked to the World Economic Forum and the sustainability umbrella and stuff like that, where they're just, you know, trying to basically make it impossible for anyone to do anything outside of their box. And they're the ones that are dictating, you know, their box that you can't live outside of. You know, we call it full spectrum dominance. You know, land, sea, air and space, and in mind, body, soul, and everything. It's just, they're just trying to get everyone in every single aspect of their lives. It's pretty deep stuff that's going on at the moment, in, you know, spiritually and in every way.
And what's the best way to fight it, do you think?
This is a big, I mean, I'm part of a university called Eucadia that, We're starting up our own finance system, and it's decentralized autonomous organizations. So we have our own, you know, decentralized autonomous societies with our own laws under divine law, natural law, and it all derives from that. So we're almost like creating our own alternative society. We're not ostracizing the crumbled system that we got. Basically, it's crumbled. It's gone. You know, this is just the remnants that have been left. So we're gonna help. We want to help the crumbling system and offer them sanctuary, sanctuary in our society if they choose to come to cross over. Mm. This is where I think where it's going. It's going to have to go. So it's creating a parallel society that we're willing to help.
I'm thinking in the back of my mind, it's almost like the fall of Rome, you know, where you've got the people at the top who just basically, they're using nepotism and incompetent at what they're doing, but they're not prepared to admit it, and so they end up losing everything.
Yeah. I mean, I had a classic, we had a little protest in Salisbury, basically I got, one of our protesters got assaulted by private security. You know, the private security that roam around your city, they're like private police force, private security guards. Basically, one of them chest bumped one of our female protesters, and we got it on camera and stuff. And I said I wanted to one of the policemen that come along, because they were trying to stop us from protesting, because it was when Tier 4 lockdown was in place. And we were saying, no, you can't tell us how many people we can hang out with and when. That's against our human rights. Anyway, we got chest bumped and they wanted us to give us our names and stuff. We refused to give our names. So one of the women tried to leave our group, and she was kettled in, chest bumped, back in by the private security. I said, right, I want to file a claim of an assault. The policeman said, well, you need to give me your information. An ID to be able to do that, otherwise I can't process anything. I said, yeah, but my information's got to be used for this specific assault charge. She promised, and then the next day I had the police come around my place with a COVID fine. And I said, all right, well, no, I don't accept that. Take me to court. So anyway, I got a letter summoned to court, because they tried to issue me with a single justice note procedure, but it was over the 6 months, because under the Magistrates Court Act, it's got to be signed within 6 months. And they said that SJPN doesn't matter because under emergency powers, Magistrates Court Act doesn't stand under emergency powers, under the COVID laws. So they tried to, my remedy in law, they said, doesn't exist under emergency powers. So I said, well, take me to court then. And basically, long story short, I got awarded, the case was dismissed, they dropped COVID charges, and I got awarded costs. So I fought a good fight and came out trumps, but it just goes to show that they're just using fear and hoping that people just be too scared to actually fight.
I think there's definitely a lot of this going on at the moment, where actually you're finding a lot of the authorities are actually breaking the law themselves and just trying to con people, really use a confidence trick in order to get people to do as they're told. Anyway, Zeke, thanks ever so much. Nice to talk to you. I'll just remind listeners of whereabouts to write to Indigo if they'd like to. It's Indigo Bond, A890BEX. That's A, letter A, 890-8EX. Actually, not BEX. A890-8EX, HMP, Eastwood Park, Foulfield, Wootton Under Edge, Gloucestershire, GL12-8DB. And I'll put the address up on our show page at thisweek.org.uk for anyone who'd like to write.
Okay, brilliant.